The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Bernie Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
There is usually very little encouraging to be found in the mainstream media, but, we actually have some encouraging things. I mentioned you earlier. 60 Minutes last night ran a piece on transgender young people who realized it was a terrible, horrible mistake, and they detransitioned. And 60 Minutes highlighted the fact that many of these kids are not counseled properly. They go and say, I'm confused about my gender, and some whacked out doctor says, well, let's start giving you hormone blockers and let's talk about surgery. It's child abuse. And 60 Minutes exposed that last night. Couldn't believe it. But they did. And then here is this from USA Today. They allowed Chelsea Mitchell to write an editorial carried nationwide in USA Today. Now, who is Chelsea Mitchell? You may recognize her name. She is one of the three Connecticut high school girls that have sued the state of Connecticut over transgender athletes competing in high school competition. Yeah, she's an award-winning athlete from Canton High School in Connecticut. Listen to this. And again, this was featured in USA Today. I was the fastest girl in Connecticut, but transgender athletes made it an unfair fight. When I was forced to race male bodies on the track, colleges didn't see the fastest female in Connecticut. They saw a second or third place runner. She says this, listen, it's February 2020. I'm crouched at the starting line of the high school girls' 55-meter indoor race. This should be one of the best days of my life. I'm running in the state championship, and I'm ranked the fastest high school female in the 55-meter dash in the state. I should be feeling confident. I should know that I have a strong shot at winning. Instead, all I can think about is how all my training, everything I've done to maximize my performance, might not be enough simply because there's a runner on the line with an enormous physical advantage, a male body. I've lost four women's state championship titles, two All New England awards, and numerous other spots on the podium to male runners. I was bumped to third place in the 55-meter dash in 2019 behind two male runners. With every loss, it gets harder and harder to try again. And then she goes on and talks about her lawsuit against the state of Connecticut, the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference, and so forth. She says she took the lawsuit to courts because girls and women shouldn't be stripped of their right to fair competition, she says. The CIAC allows biological males to compete in girls' and women's sports. As a result, two males began racing in girls' track in 2017. In the 2017, 18, and 19 seasons alone, these males took 15 women's state track championship titles. Titles held in 2016 by nine different girls and more than 85 opportunities to participate in higher-level competitions that belong to female track athletes. That's because, and again, this is a USA Today editorial, quote, that's because males have massive physical advantage. Their bodies are simply bigger and stronger on average than female bodies. It's obvious to every single girl on the track. But Connecticut officials are determined to ignore the obvious. And unfortunately, a federal district court recently dismissed our case. The court's decision to do so tells women and girls that their feelings and opportunities don't matter, and they can't expect anyone to stand up for their dignity and their rights. That's wrong, and it chips away at women's confidence and our belief in our own abilities. It's happened to me over and over. Every time I walk up to the starting line, I try to tell myself that I can overcome the unfair odds. I can win, even though the race is stacked against me. But besides the psychological toll of experiencing unfair losses over and over, the CIAC's policy has more tangible harms for women. It robs girls of the chance to race in front of college scouts who show up for elite meets and to compete for the scholarships and opportunities that come with college recruitment. I'll never know how my own college recruitment was impacted by losing those four state championship titles to a male. When colleges looked at my record, they didn't see the fastest girl in Connecticut. They saw a second or third place runner. And it's not just happening to me. My friend and fellow plaintiff, Selena Soule, was bumped from qualifying for the state championships, a 55-meter final and an opportunity to qualify for the New England Championship by a male runner in 2019. And it goes on and so forth. That's USA Today running a very well-written piece by Chelsea Mitchell, who, by the way, has now graduated from high school, but she's still suing the Athletic Association in Connecticut for an unfair advantage given to boys who are identifying as girls. This case has been appealed. A lower court ruled in favor of the state of Connecticut and against these three girls. I don't get that. I don't understand that. When scientific evidence can be given that a transgender individual, a male who has transitioned to a woman or a girl, has unfair physical advantage in spite of hormone treatment, in spite even sometimes of sexual reassignment surgery, that doesn't change their muscular structure. They have a physical advantage. It is not a level playing field. It is not fair. I would hope that this USA Today article will gain some well-deserved attention. And I pray that as this case goes through the courts and is appealed to a higher court, common sense will prevail. And the big question, where are the feminists? Where are the liberal leftists who say they stand for women's rights and unfair discrimination against women? Where are they? I'll tell you where they are. They are afraid of the transgender activists. Frightened, scared, afraid. So good for USA Today for running that article. And we'll keep an eye on that case. Strange things happening out in San Francisco. CVS, Walgreens, Target, Safeway Markets are leaving San Francisco. Why? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you when we return. You remember what we say all the time? Everything the liberal left touches, they destroy. Another example, this time in San Francisco. I'll give you the story when we return.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Okay, we got to have a little flashback, all right? If you were listening to this program back in 2014, I told you about a brilliant idea that the politicians in California came up with to help poor people. Yeah, to help poor people. It was Proposition 47. You see, the liberals said that too many poor people were being arrested for shoplifting. And they basically said, nobody should be arrested for shoplifting because the only people who shoplift are people that need those things. That's the reason they shoplift, is because they need it. And these big companies can afford to lose a little money here, lose a little here. So they passed Proposition 47. And the people of California were dumb enough to pass it. Now, what did Proposition 47 accomplish? Well, they reclassified nonviolent thefts as misdemeanors if the stolen goods are worth less than $950. Do you remember this? Do you remember? Were you listening in 2014? We spent a lot of time talking about this. So in essence, if what you took costs less than $950, you really wouldn't be prosecuted. You could be assured you would not be prosecuted because it would cost too much to prosecute and so forth. So what began to happen? What began to happen, and this is the absolute truth, crooks were getting calculators, and they were going down to the local Target or CVS or Walgreens or whatever, and they would have a calculator with them. And they would start taking stuff off the shelf and adding it up. And they would add up to as close to $950 as they possibly could and just stuff it in their coat, stuff it in their shirt, and walk out the door knowing they wouldn't be arrested, they wouldn't be pursued because of Proposition 47. And people with any kind of common sense said, this is going to be a disaster. And the liberals said, no. People are inherently good. They won't take advantage of this. Right. Here's the headline. San Francisco's shoplifting surge. And I won't bore you with all of the details, but particularly in San Francisco, and it's a long story as to why this is more prevalent, because it's a statewide law, this Proposition 47, but it's far worse in San Francisco. Quote, 5 years later, the shoplifting epidemic in San Francisco has worsened. At a Board of Supervisors hearing last week, representatives from Walgreens said that the thefts at its stores were four times, this is in San Francisco, the thefts at its stores in San Francisco were four times the chain's national average. And in the San Francisco area alone, Walgreens has closed 17 stores, quote, because the scale of the thefts had made business untenable. Brendan Dugan, the director of the Retail Crime Division at CVS, called San Francisco, quote, one of the epicenters of organized retail crime. Yeah, what's happening in San Francisco? The bad guys are getting homeless people off the street, and they say, here's a calculator. Go down to Target, go down to CVS, and you steal $840 worth of stuff. You won't get arrested, you won't be prosecuted, and we'll give you $200. And homeless people go, really? All I got to do is go steal stuff and they won't arrest? No. You steal $840. Don't go over, $940. Don't go over $950. And then you bring it back and we'll give you $200. And then the organized crime sells it on the black market. Quote, the retail executives and police officers emphasized the role of organized crime in the thefts. They told the supervisors that Proposition 47, the reclassified nonviolent thefts as misdemeanors, has emboldened thieves. One of the commissioners said, quote, the one trend we are seeing is more violence and escalating and much more bold. Also, we see a lot of repeat offenders. Target leaving San Francisco. Walgreens leaving San Francisco. CVS leaving San Francisco. Safeway grocery stores leaving San Francisco. Yeah. Quote, thieves are choosing locales based on what the consequences are. If there are no consequences for their actions, then you invite the behavior over and over. Yeah. So what conservatives were saying back in 2014 was going to happen with Proposition 47, that has happened. And retailers are fleeing because they can't make a profit when shoplifters are robbing them blind. Yeah. Hey, folks, have a great evening, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.